Well, the response of the U.S. government to what's happening in Egypt has been described as standing in a tight wire, a balancing act. First, we had this comment from Secretary of State Hillary Clinton speaking in D.C. after a meeting with Spain's foreign minister. Here was what she had to say.
Our assessment is that the Egyptian government is stable and is looking for ways to respond to the legitimate needs and interests of the Egyptian people.
Well, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton had a very different message 2 days later when she was on Meet the Press.
President Mubarak and his government have been an important partner to the United States. I mean, let's not, just focus on today. This is a government that made and kept a peace with Israel that was incredibly important.
Well, that's two sides of the fence coming from the same person. Joining us now is Stephen Kinzer, professor of international relations at Boston University, author of a number of books, including Reset, Iran, Turkey, and America's Future. Good morning, Stephen.
Good to be with you.
Do you see the White House is still on that tight wire, still trying to maintain that balancing act?
Well, you're absolutely right. There's a tremendous contradiction in our official policy. We support democracy in Egypt, and we also support the Mubarak government. So I guess maybe this is something the people in Washington feel they have to do, but it doesn't come out sounding very convincing. You can understand why. I think the key to this is that we have to decide whether we want a government in Egypt that is popular, that has the support of the people, or whether we want a government that is going to support our policy toward Israel. You can't have both. In the past, we've been willing to accept a government that wasn't popular because it supported our policy toward Israel. Now I think we're going to have the prospect of the opposite, a government that is popular but does not support our policies toward the Middle East. And I think that's what's worrying a lot of people in Washington.
But, Stephen, was Israel the only reason why we would choose to support certain governments? Wasn't there also the fear that if it became open to elections, that if the people were allowed to choose their own government, that they would choose a government that was extremist?
This has been the fear in the past. The United States has always been against democracy in the Arab world for this reason. We fear that democracy would produce an Islamist alternative. Now, I think there's been some reason to believe that. I still think that would have been better. I mean, these are things that governments and nations have to work through to figure out what they want. But I think there's a fascinating question now emerging from Egypt, and no one can tell you the answer, and it has to do with more than Egypt. And the question is this: is the Islamist moment in the Middle East over? Is it passing? Have people in countries like Egypt had enough of looking at what's happening in Iran and other places where religion has become the dominant force in politics and decided we don't want that anymore? I think that's one of the really long-term questions that we're going to have answered by the developments in Egypt.
Well, Islamists were voted out in Jordan when they took power years ago in the 1980s, but Hamas won an election in Gaza, and in 1992, Islamists won an election in Algeria, or almost did, until it was suppressed with the tacit support of the United States. What do you make of what's going on in Jordan this morning? The king has sacked the prime minister and the entire government, responding to protests, and we don't know exactly what he's responding to.
Well, you're right. Of course, the definition of Islamist may have changed. What constitutes an Islamist now may be something quite more moderate, more like Turkey than like Iran. As for Jordan, you know, there's an odd quirk in Jordanian law. You're allowed to criticize the government, but you're just not allowed to criticize the king. So this way, the king now says he's responding to popular protests because people don't like the government. Nonetheless, the direction of the government is not going to change, and a key foundation of that government also is support for American policy toward Israel. That policy also very unpopular in Jordan.
Well, we've also had a comment from Benjamin Netanyahu saying he's concerned that the entire region could be in danger if the chaos from Egypt, he calls it chaos, spreads. We've got Saudi Arabia calling the protesters in Egypt infiltrators. So clearly there are other partners in the Middle East who have concerns about what's going on in Egypt in terms of stability for the entire region.
Well, he calls it danger. It may be danger to the Israeli government and to the U.S. policy toward Israel. But I repeat, you cannot have popular governments in the Middle East that support U.S. policy toward Israel. If there is going to be a democratic wave in the Arab world, naturally the people in Israel will worry that those governments are not going to support what Israel is doing in Gaza and the West Bank, and that could change the Middle East equation fundamentally. It's really interesting to see that the United States, so long accustomed to being the dominant force in the Middle East, is essentially just on the sidelines now. We're not a player there. And I think this reflects the fact that we've been betting on losing forces in the Middle East. From Washington's point of view, that whole region is essentially the backdrop for a proxy conflict between U.S. influence and influence from Iran.
Or
if
maybe
that's true, Iran is winning.
Maybe it's old-fashioned. Maybe it's simply that the United States hasn't moved forward enough in foreign policy in the Middle East, that they're still supporting maybe these kind of autocratic rulers that brought stability 30 or 40 years ago, and they haven't moved forward into modern times.
This is exactly the problem with our policy toward the Middle East. We have a policy that was shaped for the Cold War. That period has been over for 20 years. The security environment in the Middle East has changed tremendously. There are terrifying new threats emerging from there, but also tantalizing new opportunities. We, however, are not able to take advantage of those opportunities.
Well, and the Iranians Stephen, the Ahmadinejad government, say what you want about them, they've actually supported the protesters as of this morning while the U.S. attempts to formulate a policy here.
You're absolutely right, and Iran is betting on forces that are popular, that win elections. They're betting on Hamas, Hezbollah, Shiite parties in Iraq. We are betting on Mubarak, Palestinian Authority with Abbas, Saudi Arabian monarchy, and increasingly radical politicians in Israel. When you look towards the future, you can see why the Iranians feel the momentum is on their side.
That's Stephen Kinzer, professor of international relations at Boston University, author of a number of books. One of them is called Reset, Iran, Turkey, and America's Future. Thank you so much for joining us, Stephen.
Thank you.
More coverage of today's demonstrations in Egypt throughout the morning. Lots of listeners adding to the conversation, like Pearl. Al Jazeera is doing a great job of providing the world with fearless, balanced, unbiased journalism. Stephen from London writes, "From what I know of Egyptians and Arabs generally, they are more likely to accept repression than revolution as the lesser of two evils. And there is probably a large majority of Egyptians that would support a crackdown by the military to restore order in the country. We'll see if that plays out, Stephen. You can join the conversation. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or head over to thetakeaway.org to find out how. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.